This is Street Knowledge with Chris Graham.
Welcome to the podcast. Chris Graham and Rod Mullins, my co-host for this podcast. We're talking NASCAR. Now, we normally talk on Tuesday, and if we had talked this week on schedule, Rod, we would have missed out the big news of the week. A couple of news items this week we would have missed out on. Let's start with, I guess, one A and one B, perhaps. Kevin Harvick. Now, we were going to talk yesterday about Kevin Harvick and the big win at Texas. And then something funny happened on the way to certifying that win. What happened with Kevin Harvick?
It's called dishing out penalties on the day of Tuesday is usually what it is. Tuesday events is when NASCAR dishes out penalties. And of all things that came out of this, Kevin Harvick now finds out he's no longer locked into a NASCAR Cup Series playoff spot. So you had those four spots. Joey Logano claimed one here about 2 weeks ago, and then it appeared that Harvick had claimed the second one this past weekend at Texas. But there was an illegal alteration done to the rear spoiler on the Stewart Haas Racing Ford, and so NASCAR slammed him with penalties, including not allowing Harvick to use the win for the automatic berth to be among the four drivers who will go for the championship down at Homestead Miami Speedway on November 18th. Harvick was also docked 40 points. Crew Chief Rodney Childers and Car Chief Robert Smith each suspended for the last two races of the season, and Childers was fined $75,000. Now, that's pretty sharp considering what happened this past weekend in Texas, because Kevin Harvick was just running away with this race, and then as it all comes down to it, now the penalty leaves Harvick clinging on to a final playoff spot. He's still in there, considering his points, as he's 3/10 ahead of Kurt Busch and 17 ahead of Chase Elliott going into the elimination race coming up in Phoenix this coming weekend. And Stewart Haas is not going to appeal the penalty. Greg Zipidelli, who is Tony Stewart's camera crew chief, when he was back at Joe Gibbs Racing, said, "You know, we've entered into an area not accommodated by its rule book," and that's kind of funny there because NASCAR is constantly rewriting the rule book in order to be able to cover for all the things that are done or pushed through an inspection. And so, right now, as it goes, Joey Logano is the only driver locked into this final four with Kyle Busch and Martin Truex right now on cushions that should allow them to get into it. But Kevin Harvick should be on the outside looking in, but we're going to one of his favorite tracks this coming weekend in Phoenix, and that could be interesting for him to be able to make it in some way if he's able to come up with the points that he needs, but he will not get an automatic out of it as he hopes.
Now, I've got to ask this question now. Was this an accident? Was it misinterpretation of a rule? Like you said, the rule book's always changing to adapt to new situations. Or was this intentional cheating and they got caught?
You know, that's a question we'll never know. I mean, as opposed to years ago when Michael Waltrip and his racing team put jet fuel in the gasoline or in the Sunoco gasoline at Daytona, and they got speeds to where they actually were pushing 200 miles an hour or a little over. You know, that was directly cheating, so to speak, after they did that. This, I don't know. When you're talking about the rear spoiler, it could have been something in the makeup of the spoiler or how it was made, and it just didn't pass anything until they started looking at it in post-race inspection. But, you know, it's funny. If it made it and it got caught in post-race inspection, why did they get caught in the pre-race inspection? That's one of the things we're having to deal with. Another thing there, too, and I think I made mention of it in my email, Steve, that Jimmy Johnson, here he is. He gets penalized in the pre-race inspection this past Sunday in Texas. NASCAR claimed that he failed inspection 3 times. If that was the case, then they go and they take you wherever you qualified at, but then in the pre-race inspection, if you fail that, they put you to the back of the pack. Jimmy Johnson only failed inspection 2 times. And now NASCAR's having to explain themselves, which they have claimed it was an oversight. Who knows about this? I mean, this is all kind of up in the air sort of things, and this is with how can I say, it's chaos with a little bit of order when you talk about NASCAR and the big boys. Now, when you go to your local tracks, it's one of those things where you can challenge one of the other racers and you can say, hey, I think your engine's illegal. In this case, NASCAR's going to kind of keep it under the radar, so to speak. And you really can't say that the, I guess the infraction was, I don't know, it was one of those things that could have been a fluke. But NASCAR also penalized Ryan Blaney. He finished second in Texas. Eric Jones was also penalized. He finished fourth. They were docked 20 points each, and their car keeps are suspended for two races. Their crew chief fined $50,000. And Blaney had a door front crush panel violation. The filler panels did remain permanently attached, okay? And then Jones had a package tray violation. Now, I'm going to have to do a little bit of some research on that package tray violation, but both of those drivers eliminated in the rounds of the playoffs. But for Kevin Harvick, this was a big deal. I mean, $75,000 on Robbie Childers and then losing that automatic bid, you know, it's anybody's guess right now. I don't think that they would be pushing the envelope, so to speak, hoping that they would get caught cheating, but I think everybody has done it at one time or another in the pits and in the garage area. They just want to see how far they can possibly go, so we'll never know.
One other sort of interpretation question, more opinion question, I guess. Do you think the penalties would have been so severe if this race was back in March or April? Do you think it's heightened because it's the playoff?
Yeah, I think so, most definitely. And I think it's probably showing some of these teams how much they mean business, especially now in the playoffs. And NASCAR, look, they're trying to save some face with this because there have been times that NASCAR has let these little things slide through. They don't want questions like this coming up, especially in the playoffs, that a driver, a crew chief, or a car chief is going to do anything and everything to skirt around those rules in that gray area to try to see how far they can go with it. I think they're cracking down the whip a little bit more. And, you know, when they go to Phoenix this weekend, we might see some more penalties before it's over with. It's been the little things so far. It's been the lug nuts. You know, you come into the pits and something happens, you lose a lug nut, you have to come back in, you get penalized for it, they penalize you, you know, in the week after that. But I think this was one of those things that they may have been just skirting it to find out how far they could go with it and see if anybody would really pursue it. And they got their hands caught in the cookie jar this time, and the mousetrap came down on top of them.
So now let's talk about the other big news of the day, and it's like I said, it's hard to pick out which one was a bigger one. That's obviously huge news. This one is interesting. We talked about Martin Truex Jr. and his situation for 2019, and so rare for a guy his status to have uncertainty heading into the next season. Well, we got the news today. What's Martin Truex Jr.'s future? Joe Gibbs Racing. Talk about that. He's going to be driving the number 19 car next year.
Yeah, Joe Gibbs announced today that Martin Truex and crew chief Cole Purr is going to join the number 19 car for 2019. And for Joe Gibbs, it's a big land for them, considering that, you know, they've got Kyle Busch and they've got an up-and-comer in Eric Jones. But getting the Martin Truex, Cole Purr combo just solidifies this team a little bit more for 2019. And the one that I really feel bad about right now at this point is Daniel Suarez. Daniel Suarez has really driven his guts out when he's been out on the track, and he's been through some unfortunate things that have happened. I mean, you have to look at the situation last year when he went through the infield at one of the NASCAR races going with Rutledge Wood, and they delivered donuts. Of all things, he went out and paid for donuts that morning, went through the garage area or the pits, especially for some of the campers that come into one of the races, and delivered donuts to some of these groups that were out there. And he ends up losing his sponsorship with Subway because Subway says, hey, look, you're going out and promoting something that's not healthy, and why should we stay with you? I think it was probably more than that why they dropped Daniel Suarez, but it made him look bad because he was just doing something at the sake for the fans. And now you have him come up this year, and he's been racing really well. He's not won a race, but he's still a great personality. He's a great driver. He's got some potential if he drops somewhere. And then Joe Gibbs is like, well, to make room for Martin Truex, we're going to pull the rug out from underneath Suarez and he has nothing right now lined up at this point. Now, he's been successful in the Xfinity Series. He might jump back to going to the Xfinity Series for just a little while until he finds something. But, you know, for Furniture Row Racing, it won't exist now as it goes into 2019. We don't know who a sponsor will be on the 19 car with Martin Truex and Cole Pern there. But for Barney Visser, he's just happy. He doesn't have to bankroll it anymore. He's been bankrolling it out of his own pocket. And Joe Gibbs Racing has got outstanding support from Toyota with their research and development team. It's a match made in heaven, so to speak. That is, until the wheels start falling off for Joe Gibbs. And it could before it's over with, because once these teams start getting a little bit more comfortable, you start seeing things kind of materialize that kind of degrades and brings the team down. And give example of that, Henrik Motorsports and Jimmy Johnson, and what kind of season Jimmy Johnson has had this year. People are still scratching their head wondering, you know, is Jimmy Johnson still that great of a driver? People may still be wondering whether or not Martin Truex will still have what it takes to be a successful championship driver when he goes over to Joe Gibbs Racing next year.
More off-the-track news, some sad news, kind of bridging the world of IndyCar racing and NASCAR. Mary Holman George, she was the chairman emeritus at Indianapolis Motor Speedway, died over the weekend, 83 years old. You'd recognize her voice anyway. Talk about this news.
Oh, this is a big loss, at least for Indianapolis Motor Speedway. It brought back memories for me when I heard of her death the other day. I was fortunate enough, my wife and I attended the first Brickyard 400 up in Indianapolis. And the first thing that they brought out, I first thought it was one of those things of, okay, it's just one of those fluff things you do as a promoter or as a racetrack owner that you're going to do this, and that's the first time at this Brickyard race, so I kind of understand it. No, she did this for all of the races, for all of the IndyCar races, and also for the NASCAR races from the time that they came in at the Brickyard. And they deem her as a quiet pioneer of auto racing, and took over, of course, when her husband passed away, and she also resumed the, I guess, the head of the company or the head of the corporation in IMS when Tony George was removed. Her son was removed out of that position, but she's been known to millions as the woman who gave the command to start engines for the Indianapolis 500 and other events at the Speedway. But you know, she great. Great family up there, generous, very kind when it comes to philanthropy. She will definitely be missed.
Some more off-track news, and this has to do with merchandise. For fans who attend races regularly, you've been used to a certain new setup, relatively new setup the last few years. But that's going to come to an end. Take us into this one, Rod.
Well, if people are familiar with going to the races, they used to see a lot of trailers. You know, certain select races now, you can still see some team trailers, but a lot of this stuff has been consolidated into just a few trailers for memorabilia and different things like that. Fanatics is now terminating their NASCAR track side deal after this year, according to sources. It was a 10-year deal that they had originally signed with NASCAR to run through 2024, but there's been a big problem for Fanatics, and I can understand why. Sagging attendance that has negatively impacted the original financial projections for the deal. Now, I'm not saying Fanatics doesn't have any nice things or doesn't have nice stuff. They do, but when you start getting people to back out of coming to the races because of the price tag, how much it costs to bring a whole family, are you really going to have a lot of money left over to be able to spend on memorabilia? And folks have to know, stuff is expensive at the track. There's no doubt about it. When you can go and, not plugging for Walmart here, but if you go into a Walmart, you might find a Chase Elliott shirt. You might find a Napa shirt there. You might find a Hooter shirt for Chase Elliott. But when it comes to some of the other drivers, you're kind of, it's do or choose wherever you may go. So for Fanatics, they declined to comment about this whole thing, but NASCAR President Steve Bell said the news in a statement on Friday last week to a organization, the paper called The Daily. He wrote and he told them, he said that we're in the process of finalizing a plan for a new trackside merchandise model for 2019 that will continue to engage the fans at racetracks across the country. And although Fanatics declined to discuss discontinue they chose to discontinue the trackside relationship. They're looking for someone else. And by the way, this kind of goes with the same thing that I had also read in some circles last week that we didn't have a chance to put on in the podcast. Comcast has now decided they're not quite interested in maybe having a controlling interest in NASCAR or purchasing some kind of stock in NASCAR. So they're kind of moving away from things. And I don't know if this is a thing of tainted goods or the way that they're looking at this whole picture, but definitely the attendance has killed this trackside deal with Fanatics. It's hurt a lot of other things. NASCAR needs to do some re-examination on their part to find out what is the ultimate experience. And It's going to be interesting to see what happens if they are able to find someone and able to negotiate a deal with them and get started for the 2019 season.
It's all about the money. You have to admit that. So it's tough right now, especially with as exciting as these playoffs have been. Now, let's go back to the track, guys. We wrap up our podcast here. Arizona this weekend. It's the last race before Homestead, the season finale next weekend. So I imagine, Rod, that this weekend is going to be all out. Foot to the floor, because this is the last chance to make an impression heading into that championship round.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, it's going to be a pedal to the metal, pedal to the floor. It's going to be an all-out, and there are going to be some people that are going to be jockeying for positions in there and trying to come up with at least some kind of great finish to where they can make it to Homestead. And right now, as I'm looking at the point standings as it goes right now, it is so close, and especially with this Kevin Harvick punishment that got handed out, now you're looking at the possibility of someone like a Chase Elliott being able to make it. If he's able to run toward the front or win the race, he should get into this deal, and then also you'll have your other two drivers that make the chase in there as well. Kyle Busch could very well make it, but you know, we're going to have to see it to believe it is what's going to happen coming up at Phoenix. It could be carnage for all we know. I mean, you could see some wrecks. Phoenix has been retooled. It's been redesigned. NASCAR International Speedway Corporation has redone Phoenix, so it's not the same track that a lot of people remember. So it's going to be a brand new sort of experience. But like I said earlier, Kevin Harvick is probably the one that's favored at this track. But Kevin Harvick has to run at the front of the pack almost the entire race in order for him to be able to get into this based on points, because he's got a point spread to be able to make up. He has to make it up this coming weekend.
Should be fun, because a lot of incentive out there for a lot of drivers to do their best and get out there. Homestead's next week, so we'll bring Rod back next week. We'll make sense of Arizona. We'll get you ready for the season finale. Fun time of year to be a NASCAR fan. Hey, Rod, thanks for joining us.
Yeah,